وما دنيانا تنير اندس سيدنا نجن الشلاك شكشن جاي شري كريشنا چايتانيا پربو نتيان اندى شري ادويتا قدادر شري باسدي غور بكتا بند هري كريشنا هري كريشنا 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 هري 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 راما هري راما 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 هري هري سو I ask forgiveness for coming late. So we are supposed to start study of Bhagavad Gita today. Of course, Venugopal Krishna Prabhu previously he had told me to start do one small book. But somehow last time when we met, we decided we'll study Bhagavad Gita. It's a very big book, and it takes long time to study and understand Bhagavad Gita. So we have to give a lot of time for that. So unfortunately, the whole modern social system is such that we don't get any time. So Saturday and Sunday mostly, and you will have so many other activities also to do on the weekends. Okay, so we will start today. We'll try to study this Bhagavad Gita cover to cover. Of course, not one day. It will take regularly also, if we every week if you conduct also, it will take many months together, or more than a year also. So we will see how it progresses. You can bring that board closer here and just wipe that whatever is there on that. So I expect everyone should have a copy of Bhagavad Gita and some notebook for writing the notes. If you have not carried today, you can see in the mobile whatever you have. So everyone has mobile apps, Bhagavad Gita. So with the stand you can bring it here closer. Because I will be writing lot of things. So,
what if you like to have prasadam?
Me?
How long can we have this session?
As long as you wish, because I came later.
Yeah,
because
10:30 is the time allowed.
Yeah. Till 11.
I have a program today.
Okay.
So meaning also we cannot have it here. We can have it in our house.
Okay.
So we can have for 1.5 hours.
Yeah. So till 10:45.
10:45.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
So maybe it's okay, bro, or you want to take a break and have breakfast?
No need. I am gone. I can go on.
Want in board?
No, yeah, I want. I will write later. Pen is there, no? Okay, so first, in the beginning of the book, we see that in every book there would be dedication. So book is dedicated to someone. So this is common even among some karmi materialistic books also. Materialistic authors also, they dedicate the book to someone. So similarly here, Srila Prabhupada has dedicated this Bhagavad Gita as it is to Baldev Vidyabhushan. So I would like to discuss little bit about Baldev Vidyabhushan and why Prabhupada dedicated to Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan. So Baldev Vidyabhushan was a acharya in this Gaudiya Sampradaya, which we are following. So he is considered as Vedanta Acharya. So, Vedanta Acharya of Gaudiya Sampradaya. So, how many of you know what is Vedanta? Vedanta? Loudly, loudly. I will ask a lot of questions in this. Vedanta means? Who knows Vedas? Vedanta, you would like to say? Loudly. We should have one more mic, I think. Huh? One more mic is there?
Yeah.
Is there or not? No, no, it's okay. But you all should speak loudly then. So, who will tell what is Vedanta? Vedanta? Who has authoritative knowledge of? What is Vedanta?
Vedanta is conclusion of the Vedas. Conclusion.
Yeah. So, this is answer. Veda means knowledge, Anta means end or conclusion. Yeah, in the end conclusion comes, no? Right or not? So, conclusion of all knowledge is called as Vedanta, or ultimate knowledge is called Vedanta. So, another way of understanding what is Vedanta is, Vedic knowledge is called as Prasthana. So, pen is there? Okay. So, Vedic knowledge, no, I want marker, marker. So, Vedic knowledge is called as Prasthana. You can write down. Vedic knowledge is called Prasthana. Prasthana means progress. So, Vedas are considered as means of progress. In Hindi also this word is there, no? Aap kahan prasthan kar rahe, like that they ask. That means, kahan ja rahe, where you are going. So, Prasthana means progressing. So, Vedas are called as Prasthana because they are means of progress towards Absolute Truth. They will lead us towards Absolute Truth. I'll just give one example. Isha Upanishad, right or not? Isha Upanishad. Upa means close. Isha means Supreme Lord. The knowledge which brings us closer to the Supreme Lord is called as Isha Upanishad. Right? You have read, no, that in Bhagavad, in Isha Upanishad book. So, all the Vedas, not only Isha Upanishad, all the Vedas, Upanishads, they are meant for bringing us towards Krishna or Absolute Truth. So, therefore, they are called as Prasthana. And there are three divisions in Vedic literature. So, you can write down. Prasthana means progress, progressing. Vedas are called as means of progress because they help us to go closer to Supreme Absolute Truth. And there are three divisions in the Vedic literature. So therefore Vedic literatures are also called as Prasthanatraya. Prasthanatraya. Traya means three. So, Prasthana Traya. We should have written all these things in advance. We could have saved time. So, evening time when we will take, we will make all the charts in advance so that we will save some time. So, Prasthana Traya. Traya means three. Three broad divisions of Vedic literature. So, one is Shruti Prasthana. And Smriti Prasthana and Nyaya Prasthana. So you can write down prasthana, prasthana. I will not write because we can save some time. So Shruti Prasthana means four original Vedas and four Upanishads. They come in Shruti Prasthana. Vedas, four Vedas, Upanishads. There are many Upanishads, but 108 are prominent. So then Smriti Prasthana, Itihasas and Puranas, they come in Smriti Prasthana. Itihasas means Mahabharata and Ramayana. So Mahabharata, Ramayana, what is difference between Itihasa and Purana? So Itihasas and Puranas. So what is difference between Itihasas and Puranas? Puranas are ancient history and Itihasa is presently which is going on. Because when Mahabharata and Ramayana were, they come under Itihasas. Mahabharata and Ramayana. And there are 18 Puranas, main Puranas, and then 18 Upapuranas are there. So they all come under these Puranas. So yeah, I'll come to that point. So what is difference between Itihasa Purana? This is ancient history. Puranas means ancient history. And Itihasa means presently going on. When Valmiki wrote Ramayana, that time it was going on. Lord Rama's pastimes were still, Lord Rama was present there. And similarly Mahabharata also. Or just it had happened. So that is the main difference between Itihasa and Purana. And Shruti and Smriti means
one example for Purana. Then we know Amara Purana and Mahabharata.
No. Mahabharata and Ramayana, they come under Itihasas. There are 18 Puranas are there. So Padma Purana, Bhagavatam is the main one among the 18 Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam. So of course it varies sampradaya to sampradaya. In Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they consider Vishnu Purana as main. But Jiva Goswami has established how Bhagavatam is the not only best among all the Puranas, it is best among all the Vedic literature. So in his Tattva Sandarbha, he has established. So unequivocally. So no one can refute that. So Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, and Varaha Purana, and Bhagavatam, Skanda Purana, like that there are 18 Puranas are there. Some other time we'll discuss in detail. So I am just giving idea of, and Nyaya means Vedanta. So Vedanta Sutra. So now this is very important for us to understand in two ways. One is because now we are discussing what is Vedanta, and another reason is what is the place of Bhagavad Gita in all the Vedic literature. So Bhagavad Gita, Itihasas, Mahabharata is one of the Itihasas and Bhagavad Gita is part of Mahabharata. So I will not discuss now where it comes in Mahabharata, which chapters of Mahabharata are covered as Bhagavad Gita. So I will discuss that later, because in our course of study of Bhagavad Gita, so we'll come across what is Bhagavad Gita also. So coming to the point, mostly I may discuss that in the first verse of Bhagavad Gita. So what is Bhagavad Gita? So I am just telling what is the place of Bhagavad Gita now among Vedic literature. So this is Smriti because it is part of Mahabharata. I will also explain later how Bhagavad Gita is Shruti, Smriti and Nyaya, all three. So similarly Bhagavatam also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained Bhagavatam, although it is comes in Smriti, as a Purana it comes in Smriti Shastra. So it is a Shruti, Smriti and Nyaya. So we will discuss that later. So I will, in the beginning of introduction to Bhagavad Gita, I will discuss this again, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, you know, prasthana traya. So prasthana, I explain, no? Yeah. So prasthana means progressing or advancing. So Vedas are called as prasthana because they are means of progress towards absolute truth. So note down this. Questions we will take later, but I would like to go slow so that you can write down. To evening, what we will do? We will write all the charts in advance so that we don't have to waste time in writing and later on. Little faster because this Bhagavad Gita is 1000 pages. We have to cover 1000 pages. So, yeah, once Mataji.
So I had a doubt. Prasthana means, as I'm saying, it's like proceeding. So, prasthana is like that. So, if you say there's a progress, it's like a development towards the spiritual knowledge. Is that way you have to take or proceeding to the thing?
Yeah, proceeding, progress, both are same. Advancing also. Yeah, advancing. So Shruti means to be heard, Smriti means to be remembered, and Nyaya means logic. So Vedanta Sutra comes in this. Now Vyasadeva, he wrote all these Vedic Vedas, Upanishads, Puranas, Itihas, Mahabharata he wrote. So Valmiki had already written, you know, Ramayana. After writing all this Vedic literature, you all know that in the Bhagavatam that history of compilation of Vedic literatures come. So he envisioned, he foresaw that in Kali Yuga people are very very fallen. They won't have intelligence, memory, sharp memory to remember everything. Therefore, he wrote books. Actually, books are meant for fools. Right or not? Intelligent people learn by hearing. So, because we are not intelligent, we don't remember whatever we have heard. So, to refresh our memory, these books are there. So, in this way, Vyasadeva wrote all these things. Then, he put all this knowledge in the form of sutra. Sutra is defined in Vayu Purana. Alpaksharam asandigdam saravat vishvato mukam astobam anaviddham cha sutram sutra vido viduhu. Like that. So there are 5 or 6 characteristics of a sutra. So alpaksharam, it should be minimum words. Asandigdam. So asandigdam means there should not be mistake in that. And then saravat means it should be essence. And vishvatomikam, it should be applicable to universal, it is. Universal. It is not only for a particular section of the people and all this. Knowledge is meant for everyone. So so in this way there are different characteristics of sutra. So basically minimum words and maximum knowledge, that is called as sutra. So Nyaya, so is Vedanta Sutra, it is in 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna has referred to this prasthana traya in 13.5. So you can write down 13 point reference for this prasthana traya is 13.5. Rishibir bahuda gitam chandobir vividai pratak brahma sutra padashaiva hetu mabdir vinishchitai. So Lord Krishna, he spoke that knowledge of soul, difference between soul and body is very elaborately discussed in Shrutis, Shrutibir Bhauda Gita. That verse only starts with Shrutibir Bhauda Gita Chandobir Vividai Pratak Brahma Sutra Padashaiva. ಸಾರಿ ಋಷಿಬೀರ್ ಬಹುದಾಗೀತ ನಾಟ್ ಶ್ರುತಿಬೀರ್ ಸೊ ಋಷಿಬೀರ್ ಬಹುದಾ ಗೀತ ದಟ್ ಋಷಿ ಇಸ್ ಅಪ್ಲೈಸ್ ಟು ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನ ಧರ್ಮಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ 20 ಧರ್ಮಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಾಸ್ ಕಮ್ ಅಂಡರ್ ದೀಸ್ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಸೊ ಆಲ್ ದ ಋಷೀಸ್ ಪರಶರ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಮನುಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಯಜ್ಞವಲ್ಕ್ಯ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಸೊ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಾಸ್ ಋಷೀಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗಿವನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೊ ವೇದ ವ್ಯಾಸ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಮಹಾಭಾರತ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಪುರಾಣಸ್ ಸೊ ದೆನ್ ಹೀಸ್ ಫಾದರ್ ಪರಶರ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಪರಶರ ಮುನಿ ಇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಸೊ ಋಷಿಬೀರ್ ಬಹುದಾ ಗೀತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಅಪ್ಲೈಸ್ ಟು ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನ ಛಂದೋಬಿರ್ ವಿವಿಧೈ ಪ್ರತಕ್ ಛಂದ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಹಿಮ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ಫೋರ್ ವೇದಾಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸೂತ್ರ ಪದಶ್ಚೈವ ಎನದರ್ ನೇಮ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಇಸ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಸೂತ್ರ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂತ್ರ ಬಾದರಾಯನ ಸೂತ್ರ ಶಾರೀರಿಕ ಸೂತ್ರ ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಮೆನಿ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಸೊ ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ರೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಲಿಟ್ರೇಚರ್ ಹಿ ಟುಕ್ ದ ಎಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟೆಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಇನ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಎಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಬಟ್ ಅಫ್ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ರೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ರೈಟಿಂಗ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸ್ಯಾಟಿಸ್ಫೈಡ್ ದೆನ್ ನಾರದ್ ಮುನಿ ಟೋಲ್ಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಟು ರೈಟ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಸೊ ನೌ ಯು ಆಲ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟುಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಸೊ ನೌ ವೈ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಡೆಡಿಕೇಟ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಆ್ಯಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಟು ಬಲದೇವ್ ವಿದ್ಯಾಭೂಷಣ್ ಹೂ ಕಂಪೈಲ್ಡ್ ಕಾಮೆಂಟ್ರಿ ಆನ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಆಸ್ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ನೌ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಮೆನಿ ಕಾಮೆಂಟ್ರೀಸ್ ಆನ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಆಲ್ ದ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಈವನ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸೊ ದೇ ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ಪ್ರೀಸ್ಟ್ ಅನದರ್ ಒನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ದ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನತ್ರಯ ಇಸ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಸ್ಕಾಲರ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಸ್ಕಾಲರ್ಸ್ ಅಕಾಡೆಮಿಕ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಸ್ಕಾಲರ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನತ್ರಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ 12 ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ದೇ ಕನ್ಸಿಡರ್ ಆಸ್ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನತ್ರಯ ಬಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಆಸ್ ಇನ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಚರಿತಾಮೃತ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೇನ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನತ್ರಯ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದೇ ಆಲ್ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಅಸ್ ಟು ಮೇಕ್ ಪ್ರೋಗ್ರೆಸ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಸೊ ವಿ ಶುಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಸ್ ವೆನ್ ಸಮನ್ ಟೆಲ್ ಓನ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನತ್ರಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಜನರಲ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ 12 ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ವೈ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪೆಂಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ರೋಟ್ ಅ ಕಾಮೆಂಟ್ರಿ ಆನ್ 12 ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಲೇಟರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಟು ರೆಫ್ಯೂಟ್ ಸೊ ಟು ಸ್ಮ್ಯಾಶ್ ಶಂಕರಾಸ್ ಟೀಚ್ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿ ದೇ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ರೋಟ್ ಕಾಮೆಂಟ್ರೀಸ್ ಆನ್ 12 ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಹೌ ದಿಸ್ ಟ್ರೆಂಡ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ ಸೊ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವೈ ನಾವು ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ಲಿ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾನತ್ರಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ 12 ಉಪನಿಷತ್ಸ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಸೊ ಎನಿವೇ ವಿ ವರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಮೆನಿ ಕಾಮೆಂಟ್ರೀಸ್ ಆನ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಸೊ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಒನ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೊ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯ ರೋಟ್ ಶಾರೀರಿಕ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ಆನ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸೊ ರಾಮಾನುಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ರೋಟ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮಧ್ವಾಚಾರ್ಯ ರೋಟ್ ಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞೆ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಹೂ ವಾಸ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಇನ್ ರುದ್ರ ಸಂಪ್ರದಾಯ ಸೊ ಹೀ ರೋಟ್ ಸುಜಾತ ಸೌರಭ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ನೋ ನೋ ಸಾರಿ ಹೀ ರೋಟ್ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ಯಾ ಸಾರಿ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಿಂಬಾರ್ಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ರೋಟ್ ಸುಜಾತ ಸೌರಭ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ಸೊ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಒನ್ ಮೋರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಸೊ ಫೋರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಆಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಮಧ್ವಾಚಾರ್ಯ ರಾಮಾನುಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ನಿಂಬಾರ್ಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಇಫ್ ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ನೋಟ್ ಡೌನ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ನೋಟ್ ಡೌನ್ ಸೊ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಕಾಮೆಂಟ್ರಿ ಆನ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಸೊ ಸಾರಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸೂತ್ರ ಶಾರೀರಿಕ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ದೆನ್ ಸೊ ರಾಮಾನುಜಾಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಆ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ದೆನ್ ಮಧ್ವಾಚಾರ್ಯಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ಞ ಭಾಷ್ಯ ದೆನ್ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಸ್ವಾಮೀಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಸರ್ವಜ್ಞ ಭಾಷ್ಯ then Nimbarka Acharya, Sujata Saurabha Bhasha. So like that. Now, among the Vedic followers, if any sampradaya doesn't have commentary on Vedanta Sutra, it is not considered as bona fide sampradaya. So every sampradaya should have. So what happened? Now we are discussing. So Balde Vidyabhushan. Who is this Balde Vidyabhushan? So he is considered as Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya. Gaudiya Vedanta Acharya, because in Gaudiya Sampradaya, he was the one who wrote commentary on Vedanta Sutra called Govinda Bhasha. So he was born in Orissa and he underwent Gurukula education there in Orissa in his nearby place. It is told, not clearly exactly know which place he is born, somewhere near Balesor. Balesor, you know, no? There nearby there is Kshirachur Gopinath temple is there. Some of you must have visited. So those who are not gone, Prabhuji will take you all there. So near Balesor he was born, and later he came to Mysore here, here. And there he studied in a Madhva Gurukul, Madhva Mutt actually, and he took sannyas in Madhva Sampradaya. Later he went to Jagannath Puri. While he was traveling to different holy places, he comes to Jagannath Puri. When he came to Jagannath Puri, he met one Acharya, Gaudiya Sampradaya Acharya. Sorry for not making full homework. So that Acharya comes in Narottam Das Thakur Sampradaya. You all know that Narottam Das Thakur is one of the Acharyas in Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he taught him literatures of Goswamis, Sandarbha, you know. Rupa Goswami has written Bhakti Rasamrata Sindhu and Ujjvala Neelamani, Upadeshamrata, so like that, Mathura Mahatmya and all those books. So Krishna Ganodesha Deepika, many books, Jiva Goswami. So, and Sanatana Goswami, all the Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Goswamis to write books. And they wrote lots of books. Basically, Gaudiya theology is developed by so all these six Goswamis. And among all the writings of six Goswamis, so Jiva Goswami's writings are very philosophical. So he wrote Shat Sandarbhas, very famous Shat Sandarbhas. We will discuss about all these things. There is a lot to discuss. So basically, Balde Vidyabhushan studied Shat Sandarbhas under that Acharya in Jagannath Puri. Then that Acharya said, you go to Vrindavan and there is a great Acharya called Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So you go and study Srimad Bhagavatam under him, like that. He instructs him. So then from there, Balde Vidyabhushan, he goes to Vrindavan and he starts serving Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and starts studying Bhagavatam under him. So in this way, he became connected to Gaudiya Sampradaya. Although we also come in Madhva Sampradaya, but he was connected to, you know, this, what they call as Tattvavadis. Tattvavadis means, you know, these Udupi followers of Madhvacharya in Udupi. So they are called as Tattvavadis. He was connected to Tattvavadis. Later, he came in contact with Gaudiya Sampradaya. We are called as Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So, and the Tattvavadis are Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, they are called as. So, in this way, Balde Vidyabhushan came to Vrindavan. And it so happened that there was one Sampradaya called Ramanandi Sampradaya. Ramanandi Sampradaya means, Ramananda was one of the preachers in Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Generally, Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya is, you know, it is in South India, basically Tamil Nadu. In Srirangam is their headquarters. Madhva Sampradaya headquarters is Udupi. So, Sri Vaishnava's one Acharya, Ramananda, he went to North India and he preached, so Sri Vaishnava there. You see, often, some North Indian Babas would be there with Sri Vaishnava Tilak, but they would have beards and generally they do Bhagavat Saptas and all these kind of things. So now the present Ramananda Sampradaya is completely deviated. They hate, envious of Krishna. They say Rama is what is? Maryada Purushottam. He is very pure in his moral character. Krishna is morally degraded. They don't like Krishna. But it is same Lord, but so in this way they are deviated mostly. And all kinds of, in Ramanandi ashrams now presently if you see in North India, so they worship Sai Baba and everything, all the demigod worship and all. It is no more like very pure Vaishnava Sampradaya. Of course, any Sampradaya can become impure gradually. If followers don't understand the teachings of the Sampradaya and strictly don't follow them, then we are Apa Sampradaya basically, deviant. So anyway, he went to, there was Ramanandi Sampradaya. So what happened? So that time, in this is in 18th century, so 1700 like that. So that time you see that Muslim rule was there in North India especially. So they always invaded Vrindavan temples. Generally these mlechas, they looted all the, they invaded temples, attacked temples and looted all the wealth in the, so most of the wealth was in the temples those days. So because everything was given for the service of the Lord. Land, cows, gold, diamond, all the valuable things was it, temples. So, so they used to loot these temples. Therefore, original deities of Vrindavan were transferred to Rajasthan because Rajasthan still it was under control of Hindu kings. So that time Jai Singh was the king of Rajasthan. So from Vrindavan, originally six Goswamis had built temples for Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. That was another instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to six Goswamis. So you all know that. And they had established very huge temples. So but these envious mlechas, they attacked these temples and destroyed these temples. Therefore, out of fear, all the deities were transferred to Rajasthan. Now, presently, the deities in Vrindavan are not original deities. They are Pratibhu Murtis. Pratibhu Murti means replicas of original deities. They are also as good as original deities. So, but original deities are all there in Jaipur and other places in Rajasthan. Because those days, those kings were, they were still Vaishnavas, they were Hindu, kings were there. So Jai Singh was king. So Jai Singh, so from 14th, 15th century when Ramananda was preached there in North India, so these Ramanandis had very strong control over Jaipur kings. So they were the, that was the main, Ramanandi Sampradaya was the dominating religious force in Jaipur kings. But as Jai Singh was, in his childhood he visited Vrindavan and he started studying Gaudiya philosophy, literatures of Goswamis, and his attraction was towards, you know, Vrindavan and Gaudiya Sampradaya. So, and when this deity of Govinda Dev came to Jaipur, then he became so much attached to Govinda Dev that Ramanandi started feeling insecure. So now our king is going to become a Gaudiya Vaishnava. So therefore they started blaming, started doing anti-preaching against Gaudiya Sampradaya, that this is not a bona fide Sampradaya. There are only four Sampradayas. Sampradayas also should be described in the, just like we know, avataras should be described in Shastras. Similarly, Sampradaya and Sampradaya Acharyas, main Acharyas, should, their names should be there in the Shastras. So in Padma Purana, so there are three verses which describe four Sampradayas and who will be Acharyas in, Acharyas in this four Sampradayas in Kali Yuga, and why we need to accept this four Sampradayas. So Ramanujam Swasvi Chakre Madhvacharyam Chatushana. So like that, some three verses are there. So Ramanujacharya will be the Acharya of Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya in Kali Yuga. Madhvacharya will be Acharya of Brahma Sampradaya. And Vishnu Swami will be Acharya of Rudra Sampradaya and Kumara Nimbarkacharya will be Acharya of Kumara Sampradaya. And these four Sampradaya will appear in Jagannath Puri and purify the entire earth, it is told. Sampradaya vihine mantraste nishmalav. Without this connection to this sampradaya, whatever mantra or knowledge which we receive, it will not give result. Like that it is told. So these four sampradayas. So basically Ramananda is, they argued which is this fifth sampradaya, Gaudiya sampradaya, like that they were arguing. By that time Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur was very old. So then he sent Baldev Vidyabhushan, go and smash these rascals, like that. So Baldev Vidyabhushan went to Jaipur. Then there was debate. They said that he basically said that I am from Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya, because he was originally initiated in Madhva Sampradaya in Mysore. I have other gurus like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and I am connected to Gaudiya Sampradaya also. Then he presented how same 10 Nava Prameya, there is one book written by Baldev Vidyabhushan called Prameya Ratnavali. So in that he describes Nava Prameyas, 9 Prameyas. So 10th one is Pramana, basis, what is the evidence for, what are the Nava Prameyas? Nava Prameyas are basically teachings, 9 teachings of the Madhvacharya. So Vishnu is the Supreme Lord, Jivas are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord, like that these Nava Prameyas are there. So the same Nava Prameyas are also taught in Gaudiya Acharyas. So he, in this way, he presented philosophically, there is no difference between Madhva Sampradaya and Gaudiya Sampradaya. So then they argued that, oh, your Gaudiya Sampradaya. Your Gaudiya Sampradaya doesn't have Vedanta commentary. So Baldev Vidyabhushan said that, yes, we have. Actually, it was not there. So then they told, okay, you bring and show it. Give me some time, they say. There are 2 versions for this. He asked for 1 week time, and another place it is told he asked for 1 month. He goes to Govinda Dev's temple, because Govinda Dev was originally installed by, originally 5000 years back, Vajranabha had installed, Krishna's great grandson. But Rupa Goswami, that was lost, DT was, again Rupa Goswami found it and installed it and built a very big temple in Vrindavan, that Govinda Dev temple is there. So now it is shifted to Jaipur. So Baldev Vidyabhushan came to Lord Govinda Dev, prayed to Lord Govinda, give me strength. He was very concerned, he was very unhappy, how I am going to present now Vedanta. Like I mentioned, without Vedanta Sutra commentary, you are not accepted as bona fide Sampradaya. He was very concerned. In the night, Govinda Deva comes to his dream and tells that, okay, you write, I will dictate it, he says. It is told that he wrote a commentary in 7 days or 1 month, both. Even to write commentary within 1 month is a big thing. We know, those who write books, they know how much time it takes, what it goes to write a book. So he wrote in 1 month or whatever, 7 days, 1 week. And therefore he called it as Govinda Bhasha, because Lord Govinda himself had dictated it to him. And he came and presented it. And there are other points of argument between that we are not, some other time when we are discussing about Baldev Vidyabhushan, we will discuss. So in this way, Govinda Bhasha commentary appeared on Vedanta Sutra. So in one book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, Baldev Vidyabhushan was previously, he was a Gopinath Acharya in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know who is this Gopinath Acharya? He was brother-in-law of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya's wife was sister of Gopinath Acharya. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from, after taking sannyas, he came from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri. When he took darshan, he falls unconscious. So then security wala, he wanted to beat, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu threw him away. Then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was there. He stopped him and he understood that these symptoms are great symptoms of ecstasy. This person must be very extraordinary. Then he took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house with the help of his followers. Then in the home, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers came, understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the house of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, so they awakened Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, brought him back to external consciousness by doing Harinam Sankirtan. So whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go into ecstasy, fall unconscious, then what was the medicine? Medicine was Harinam Sankirtan, to bring him back. So they did Harinam and brought him back. And then before that, some discussion between Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya took place. Gopinath Acharya wanted to establish that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Supreme Personality of God, based on Shastra. But this Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was a Mayavadi. For him, Supreme Lord means Brahman, impersonal Brahman. For him, no God, nothing. So how can it be possible like that? So then after that, you all know, there was 7 days continuously discussion on Vedanta. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, because he was Mayavadi follower of Shankaracharya, he was always presenting Shankara's, explaining Vedanta based on Shankara's commentary. What is the name of Shankara's commentary on Vedanta Sutra? Sharirika Bhashya. You have written down, no? Write down. So he was always quoting from Sharirika Bhashya, explaining all the sutras. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that, I understood the sutras, but I did not understand your comments on Vedanta Sutra, he said, your Sharirika Bhashya. Then Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya was agitated. He said, oh, if you know, then you explain them. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained to him, and he changed Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya to Mayavadi to Vaishnava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu changed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explains Vaishnava comments on that, Vaishnava devotional comments. So because in that discussion, Gopinath Acharya was present, later he appears as Baldev Vidyabhushan and writes commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Because that was discussion on Vedanta, no? Right? So this was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his book. So that is published as Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. So there Lord Nityananda is speaking. It was actually a prediction of Lord Nityananda that in the future Gopinath Acharya will come as Baldev Vidyabhushan and write commentary on Vedanta Sutra in Gaudiya Sampradaya. Actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not interested in writing commentary on Vedanta Sutra, because he said Bhagavatam is natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra by the same author, Veda Vyas. Because Vedanta Sutra also starts with Atato Brahma Jidnyasa Janmadhyasya Yataha. And Bhagavatam also starts with Janmadhyasya Yataha Itarashyarteshu Abhigyasvarat Sten. So it is already a natural commentary. There is no need. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you just study Bhagavatam, he said. He did not encourage writing commentary on. He did not damn, he didn't care for this Prasthana Traya at all. He said Bhagavatam. So Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam basically. So he didn't care for this Prasthana Traya. But anyway, later fools like Ramanandi Sampradayas, so they argued just to keep shut this mouth of this fool. So, so our acharyas wrote commentaries on all this Prasthanatraya, Upanishad. Balde Vidyabhushan wrote commentaries on Upanishads, and he wrote an commentary on Bhagavad Gita, and he wrote commentary on Vedanta Sutra also. So coming back to the point that so Nityananda Prabhu, he was showing all the places, he showed all the places of, he took Jiva Goswami and Parikrama of Navadvip, Navadvip Mandala Parikrama, wherever Lord Chaitanya and his associates performed pastimes. So Chaitanya Leela, wherever they happened, so he showed all those places. And in the end, he said, Jiva Goswami expressed, I will, so Nityananda Prabhu told, you should go to Varanasi, study under Vidya Vachaspati, and then go to Vrindavan, and further study under Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and write books on Krishna consciousness. So he answered, and Jiva Goswami expressed desire, I will write commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Then that time Nityananda Prabhu says that. So Gopinath Acharya, who was personally present when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained Vedanta Sutra to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he will again appear as Balde Vidyabhushan and write commentary on, so Vedanta Sutra called Govinda Bhashya. So now coming to point, Srila Prabhupada, he dedicates his Bhagavad Gita as it is to Balde Vidyabhushan, so who very nicely presented Vedanta philosophy called Govinda Bhashya, like that. So this is dedication. Why particularly to Balde Vidyabhushan? Why not to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Why not to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj or Bhakti Vinod Thakur? Because Srila Prabhupada, along with his own realizations, he has presented, basically he has lot of, you see, when Vaishnava Acharyas write commentaries on a book, they don't write their opinion. So whatever parampara Acharyas have presented, Guru Sadhu Shastra, everything should be based on Guru Sadhu Shastra. So whatever Sadhu means, previous Acharyas. Whatever spiritual master and previous Acharyas have taught, whatever is given in the Shastra, that is what they present. Like here, in the end, if you see, Prabhupada has quoted more than 36 scriptures in this Bhagavad Gita. In the end, list is given, you see, references in this Bhagavad Gita. So from different Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Vedas, Puranas, Smriti Shastras, all these Vedic literatures he has quoted. So generally, they write Smriti. Then what is their contribution? Right or not? So their contribution is that, so they can, you can give your realization, you can write your realization or speak your realization, but that realization also should be again supported by, it should be backed up by Guru Sadhu and Shastra, then it is bona fide. Otherwise it is just imagination, mental speculation it is. So that is called as Shastra Yukti. So philosophical speculation we can call it as, so philosophical interpretation. Anyway, so in this way Prabhupada, he took a lot of his commentaries based on Balde Vidyabhushan commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So Balde Vidyabhushan wrote, there are many commentaries, we will discuss the commentaries on Bhagavad Gita later, it will come again and again in the purports. In the 4th chapter, 3rd verse purport, Prabhupada, he says that there are commentaries by demons and there are commentaries by devotees on Bhagavad Gita. So there we will discuss what are the commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, what are the commentaries by devotees, what are the commentaries by, so by devotee demons. So now Balde Vidyabhushan wrote a commentary on Gita called Gita Bhushana. So Vishwanath Chakravarti wrote Sararta Darshini. Sararta Darshini. Sararta Varshini. Varshini means shower, rain, you know. Rain of essential meanings. And his Sararth Darshani is commentary on Bhagavatam, Vishnu Nachakravarti Thakur. Revelation of essential meanings. Darshini means revelation. So, Varshini means shower of essential meanings. So, similarly, Baldev Vidyabhushan. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote two commentaries on Bhagavad Gita in our Sampradaya called Rasika Ranjana Bhasha and Vidvad Ranjana Bhasha. Two commentaries. Rasika Ranjana is very sweet and Vidvad Ranjana is very philosophical. So, Rasika Ranjana is based on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Sararta Varshini, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives very sweet comments. And Vidvad Ranjana is based on Baldev Vidyabhushan's Gita Bhushana. Baldev Vidyabhushan gives very philosophical lot of, because he is originally from Madhva Sampradaya. Madhvacharya always refuted Mayavad. Mayavad Khandana is main. So, main contribution of Madhvacharya. So therefore, you see in this book, so much Mayavad is condemned in this book. Literally every purport, every page Mayavad Khandana is done. So in this way he takes comments from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur also, but basically he has taken from Baldev Vidyabhushan. Therefore dedication is for to Baldev Vidyabhushan. Okay, so now we understood dedication, why it is for to Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, who presented so nicely the Govinda Bhasha commentary on Vedanta philosophy. We understood what is Vedanta, what is Govinda Bhasha, who is Baladev Vidyabhushan, why Prabhupada dedicates to Baladev Vidyabhushan. So next one is, so contents are there. And then setting the scene, publishers of this Bhagavad Gita as it is, BBT. So BBT managers or directors. So they have given this setting the scene. What is the scene? So, you know, when, in what, which place, what was the situation in which this Bhagavad Gita was discussed? So you all know the history of Mahabharata. So Kauravas and Pandavas. So Dhritarashtra wanted to cheat Pandavas and give kingdom to Kauravas. Although Dhritarashtra was elder than Pandu. So three brothers were there. Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura. So Vidura, anyway, he was born to maid servant. So, and he was younger to Pandu among the three. So, therefore, eldest was Dhritarashtra. Generally, system was that all the wealth will go to eldest son, not girl. If girl is there, she will not get. Girl will not get share in the property. So, because dowry only is so much, then what is else? What else has to be given? So, the main reason for that is, once she is married, she is no more part of the family. She is somebody else, husband's property she is. So, therefore, share will not go to. There was no question of even sharing this wealth. It was not shared among even males also. Only it belonged to eldest son. And younger brothers would assist eldest, and eldest son would look after younger brothers. So they all dharma, that there was no insecurity among the younger brothers, because everyone followed dharma. And he elder brother thought, this is my dharma to look after everyone. And younger brothers, they said, they thought, my dharma is to assist my elder brother. So that dharma was the one which was binding everyone. Sense of dharma. So this point we have to understand. From beginning to end, in Bhagavad Gita, this is trust, sense of dharma, sense of duty, work as a matter of duty. Of course, what is work also we have to understand, not that any work is, any modern occupations and jobs is not dharma, it is not according to dharma. work is also defined. We will discuss that in our Bhagavad Gita discussion. So that sense of duty is stressed from beginning to end, beginning to end, beginning to end. That is very important. So we follow four regulative principles to develop this sense of dharma actually. So we should not become overcome by lust. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita end, lust is described. What is that which forces me to do something which I don't want to do? Arjuna asked this question. Right or not? So this is opposed to sense of dharma. If one is covered by lust, what happens? He will not be able to develop this sense of dharma. So loyalty to Guru Krishna will never come. So you may take initiation, but you may not be able to follow the standards of. So therefore one should control one's lust. Therefore four regulative principles are there. You will not chant 16 rounds if you do not follow four regulative principles. Therefore it is stressed in the beginning only. At the time of initiation, initiation is beginning of spiritual life. So it's not ultimate goal of life, it's a beginning of life. So those who are serious practitioners, those who want to practice throughout their life, they are given initiation. So in this way we see that that sense of dharma is very important. So anyway, eldest son would get the property. In India this system was demolished because of Indira Gandhi's Land Reform Act in 1972 or 74 sometime. She made that everyone should get equal, you know, share in the property, including even woman also, because she is woman. And then destroyed all this joint family system. Now you all know, just to take care of one child, how it is difficult it is. So many problems were created because of this, so many social problems. So when we make mockery of, you know, Shastra and whatever tradition, parampara, Vedic tradition is coming, then we will land in so much trouble that you cannot imagine. Now all the court case, most of the court cases are these property cases. Brothers, you know, kill each other also. Murder. Brothers, they murder each other, you know. And he knows a lot of things. So property cases, and on agriculture also it made lot of impact. All the lands started becoming small patches, you know, small pieces. You cannot grow varieties in there, right or not. Then you have to depend on the society to buy things, right or not. So then paper currency, to earn paper currency, overall everyone will go away from agriculture. So and you cannot do agriculture because you have family, one husband, one wife, one or two children. You cannot maintain cows, you cannot do farming, because children, brothers, younger brothers, big families would support farming, cow production. So therefore now it is burden, all these things are. Then better take some job and live like animals in the city and go on like that, right? And just eat whatever is available, whatever is given. Although good labels would be there, good packaging would be there. Just go on like that. This is what happens. So this demonic, you know, these leaders are very demonic. Anyway, our point is, these are all some, we are going little off. So Dhritarashtra was supposed to get. Even in Vedic culture, if they are not qualified, because guna karma vibhagasha, if they are not competent, if they don't have that caliber, so they are not given. Even though he is eldest and first born, Dhritarashtra was first born, but he was blind physically. How he will protect citizens? So then Pandu became the king, and later you all know that Pandu died very young. Dhritarashtra, he thought that I did not get the kingdom, at least my children should get. Then they made so many plots to destroy Pandavas, and in the end war became inevitable. So Lord Krishna tried to control the situation by making some compromise, peace agreement. Internally he wanted war, anyway, you all know that. He wanted to smash all these pillars, Kauravas and all, because Krishna's purpose was to paritranaya saduna vinashaya cha dushkutam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami. He wanted to. So they assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. You know the first verse, Dhritarashtra uvacha dharma kshetre Kurukshetre samaveta yuyutsava mamaka pandavashaiva kim akuruvata sanjaya. So after assembling on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, O Sanjaya, what did they do? Dhritarashtra should not ask this question, because after coming on the battlefield, no question of compromise. Among Kshatriyas, there is no rule that once you come on the battlefield, finished, you have to just kill each other, that's all. All the compromise, all the discussions, peace agreement and all, everything will happen before they go to battlefield. And that was attempted, all right, before they went to battlefield. Yeah, so before they went to battlefield, it was attempted, but it didn't happen. Now, why again Dhritarashtra is asking this question? For example, you are very hungry and a big plate of prasadam comes in front of you. Is it necessary? What did he do after sitting in front of prasadam plate? Is it necessary to ask? Obviously, he will eat, right? Similarly, for Kshatriyas, this killing each other is a feast for them. They love that. And not like modern day leaders, half of the army, they will sit in safe chambers and half of the army is meant for protecting them only. No, they will be right in front of the army in the battlefield. They love fighting. Fighting flows in their blood, actually. So there is no question of asking this question, what did they do? But Dhritarashtra's fear is indicated here. Dhritarashtra was very fearful. First thing, he didn't want compromise between Kauravas and Pandavas. And second thing, he was worried about, because he used this Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre. He could have just used Dharma Kurukshetra. Why he particularly used Dharma Kshetra word? So after assembling on the place of pilgrimage called Kurukshetra, what did they do, like that he asks. So now we see that this is a holy place. He was especially concerned or worried that holy place will influence in two ways. One is, it will make Kauravas, it will, you know, influence of the place. If you, like, we come to Bangalore, you know, everywhere all these people are passionate, running here and there. Everywhere they are dressing in such a way to attract each other. Sexual connotations are there, vibrations are there. So then what happens? Consciousness becomes polluted. Now you are in a holy place, then consciousness becomes purified. So Dhritarashtra was worried that my sons Duryodhana, and headed by Duryodhana, all the Kauravas headed by Duryodhana, will come under the influence of this holy place and make compromise. Dhritarashtra didn't want that. He just wanted this, you know, Pandavas to be wiped out here. Again, they will be headache throughout the life, you know, throughout, for Duryodhana, my son, you know. So they will always be headache like that, he thought. And another result is, this holy place will favor Pandavas, because they are virtuous, they are dharmic. So he was fearful about the outcome of the battle. So it will help Pandavas. So because they will get Shakti in this, wait or not. So anyway, so they all came together on the battlefield. Now war was about to start. They blew their conch shell. So this is a symbol of beginning of the war. Then suddenly Arjuna decides. He he was about to, in the 20th verse, if you see in the first chapter, so I, 20th chapter he says that he was about to release his, you know, arrows. He was about to release his arrows, then in 21st, 22nd verse Arjuna says that, take me in the midst of both the armies, senayor ubayor madhye ratam sthapayameyach. Yavadetan nirikshayam yoddukamam avasthitan. So I want to see who all have assembled here to with a desire to fight. So like that he says, what is the time? 10:20. Okay, we have some more time. So then they go, you know, so Krishna, Arjuna, now conchal is blown, he is about to release the war. Then why Arjuna, and he is not in, he cannot do compromise now on the battlefield. There is no question of compromise now. Now they have assembled on the battlefield, they have blown the conchal, all the musical instruments are sounded, and about to release the arrow. They have to just kill each other, that's all. But still, he says, I want to see who all have assembled. So here we see that Krishna's plan, you know. So Krishna puts Arjuna into delusion, illusion now, into family attachment. That, you know, family attachment, ignorance is arose in the heart. So he particularly brings the chariot of Arjuna in front of Bhishma and Drona. Bhishma, Drona, Pramukataha, like that. He says, Arjuna says, look, behold, O Arjuna, assembled here are the Kurus. So prominent among them are Bhishma and Drona, like that. So then we see that Arjuna becomes completely overcome by, overwhelmed by, so family affection, affection for Drona, Bhishma. So then Lord Krishna speaks this Bhagavad Gita. This is the set scene. Now after scene is set, now we can proceed to next part. I will not read this setting scene. So we will go to preface to Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada wrote this preface in May 1971 in Sydney, Australia. So by that time, just at that time, around that time, so movement had started in Australia. So till 1971, there was no Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita as it is, we will discuss that. Now it will come in the first paragraph. So, in the evening we can have one more mic, because I will make them to read now. So please open your Bhagavad Gita preface. So those who don't have, evening I expect everyone to have Bhagavad Gita, because we are studying this book now. This is not just general class. So, and everyone should have notebook. If you write in paper also, that paper will get lost. So we will start with a preface. This time I will read, because there is no mic. So preface. Originally I wrote Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the form in which it is presented now. When this book was first published, the original manuscript was unfortunately cut short to less than 400 pages, without illustrations and without explanations for most of the original verses of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. In all of my other books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nishopanishad, etc., the system is that I give the original verse, its English transliteration, word for word, Sanskrit English equivalents, translation and purport. This makes the book very authentic and scholarly and makes the meaning self-evident. I was not very happy therefore when I had to minimize my original manuscript, but later on when the demand for Bhagavad Gita as it is considerably increased, I was requested by many scholars and devotees to present the book in its original form. Thus the present attempt is to offer the original manuscript to this great book of knowledge with full parampara explanation in order to establish the Krishna consciousness movement more soundly and progressively. So we will go like this system, paragraph by paragraph. So, and we will discuss what is there in that paragraph. Sometime I will ask you all. So, what are the main points in this paragraph? Who will tell? First point, who will tell? Please raise your hands. Yeah.
Actually, in the original, you elaborated the commentary. Now, he is supposed to give some portion only.
Yeah, so Prabhupada says that originally he wrote Bhagavad Gita the way it is presented now, the book which is available in our hand now. So now you see, Prabhupada previously he had written commentary on Bhagavad Gita in 1940s. Before that got published, when just it was in the form of manuscript, so that manuscript was lost. So there is some doubt that his wife sold it for copy wala. In Leelamrita we hear that in biographies of Srila Prabhupada we come to know that there is. So you can imagine people how right or not sometime our own relatives can be, how, what extent they can go. So she was devotee, but she didn't have so much he wanted to do a revolutionary preaching, actually worldwide preaching. So she was simple woman, happy in family life, like that. She was not so enthusiastic about all this preaching, helping in preaching and all this. So he was not happy with his preaching mood, especially. So he lost it. Then again, after going to America, he again wrote commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So that was published in 1968 by Macmillan Company. You know this Macmillan, very famous book publisher. So Macmillan Company published it. But unfortunately, it was cut short, less than 400 pages. So this is history of Bhagavad Gita as it is publication. Again, this was published by BBT, started in around 70s, like that. Before that, there was ISKCON Press. So in 1972, now this preface is written in 1971, just before the publication of this book. So in 1972, this original edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is was presented. So now, so this is our first point here. So in the preface, where is the, yeah. So you can wipe someone, where is the wiper for this? Publication of BG as it is. You can wipe the other portion. So this is first point. Publication of BG as it is. Basically here, Srila Prabhupada dissatisfaction that it was cut short, So that is expressed here. Srila Prabhupada dissatisfaction. So you can paragraph 1, this should be paragraph 1, preface paragraph 1. So first point is this, then anything else? Any other points? So many demands have come. Yeah. So before that anything is there? Little bit we have to think deeply what is given. Yeah, that was okay. That is comes in this history of publication of Bhagavad Gita as it is. Prabhupada was dissatisfied by Macmillan edition because it was cut short. So you see the present one is 1000 pages and it was less than half, 400 pages means. So there were no illustrations, no much explanation to most of the original verses of Bhagavad Gita, like that. So he felt unhappy. Basically translations and some comments, very minimum comments. There was no original Sanskrit verse, no word to Roman transliteration, word to word meanings, that was not there. No pictures were there, very short, 400 pages. So his proper dissatisfaction of Macmillan edition. So this is the first point. You see, second point is, who will tell? Why Prabhupada decided to present Bhagavad Gita as it is in its present form? Why Prabhupada decided to present Bhagavad Gita as it is in its present form, you know, present form which is available? Reasons for that is, wait just a minute. So this is the second point, why BGAII, I will write in a short form, you can write in a little elaborately, busy as it is, you know, is presented or published, is published in its present form. Is published or decided, published in its present form. You can write it little fair way. So why Srila Prabhupada decided to present, publish Bhagavad Gita as it is in its present form? So this was the point. In this there are many other points. So who will tell the first one?
It makes the book very authentic.
Yeah. So makes the style of presentation makes. What was that style? Style of presentation? Original words. Transliteration and translation are different. So transliteration means, Sanskrit verse, Devanagari verse is there, that is written in English, that is called as transliteration, Roman transliteration. So not everyone will be able to read Devanagari, for them, so this is given, Roman transliteration. Then word to word meanings, translation and purports and explanations. So the style of presentation makes the book very authentic, scholarly,
meaningful,
and meaning self-evident. So evening what we'll do, we'll write all these things in advance only so that we'll save time. So this is first point, style of presentation. You see this kind of, I have seen so many, I love books. Prabhupada also said that every gentleman should have a library, he says. Prabhupada said that. I go to so many, many devotees give to me books from, means philosophical books, so which are relevant for our, we don't need to study more than Prabhupada said, four books are enough, Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita are enough. But to understand them, you may read many other books also. But generally, first we should read those books. So, sometimes preachers may have to read so many other books. Right? So, but our main books are these four. Right? So, sometimes I read other sampradaya books and all this. I don't get much time because of too much traveling, preaching and all. So, we see, I have seen so many books from different sampradayas and all these things. But the way Prabhupada presented, very systematically, right or not? Like you see, this book is from Sanskrit Bharati. So this book is from Sanskrit Bharati. So for our Gurukula boys to teach Sanskrit, we are reading different, Sanskrit books and all. So one devotee who is with me, one brahmachari, you must have seen him other day, he was there with me here, Giridhari Gopinath. So we were discussing most of these verses. You see, there is no reference from which shastra it is actually. So there is no reference, you see, they have just mentioned some verse and translation. But how Prabhupada presented the original verse, then word-to-word meanings. No, first Devanagari. In this there is no, English transliteration is not there, you see. No, right or not? And there is no word-to-word meanings. Then there is no explanation, only translation is there. And references are not there. This is not scholarly way of presenting. So now mostly Indian scholarship, last 200 Indian scholarship is utter failure it is. From the time when all this modern education started, Indians became so degraded in their philosophy. All this worshipping Sai Baba and all these things are what? Unphilosophical, so unshastric, non-shastric. People became so degraded, no understanding of Shastra, what is. So Prabhupada, very scholarly way he presented his books, and very authentic. So because he authentic means what?
Authority.
Yeah, authority means what? What is authority? You see, there are two ways of gaining knowledge. When word authority comes, you should remember this. One is Aroha Panta and another is Avaroha Panta, ascending process and descending process. Bottom up method and top down method. Bottom up means by our own endeavor, by our own perception, our own experience, we try to gain knowledge. And top down method means, so we hear from the authority. Like for example, here we see some accident, road accident taking place. You have direct experience, but those who are on the other parts of the Bangalore, what is there, how they will understand about this incident? By hearing from authoritative sources, reliable sources. That is the meaning of gaining knowledge from descending process. So authorities means Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. They are the ultimate authority. Ultimate authority is Krishna. From him comes Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So there are Mahajanas in that also. Mahajanas are considered as authorities. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumaro, Kapilo, Manu, Pralado, Vishnu, Janako, Balir, Vaya, Sakir, Vayam. So this verse is from Bhagavatam. Yamaraja tells to his Yamdutas. So that we 12 are authorities, he says, including himself. We know Dharma Tattvas. So Tarko Pratishto Shutayo Vivino Nasa Rushir Yasya Matamna Binam Dharma Satatvam Nihitam Guhaya Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta. If you want to know religious principles, you should follow Mahajanas. So authorities we should not take. We should take from, sorry. If you go and take from some academic scholar or some so-called sadhu, baba, appa, amma, then you will be doomed. Your life will be doomed, that's all. So we have to follow authorities. Guru, sadhu, shastra. And Krishna is the ultimate authority. Simple. Everyone may pose as sadhu, everyone may pose as guru. Everyone may write their own shastras. Everyone may pose as avatara, baba, amma, appa, bhagavan and all. But Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is there. Krishna is the ultimate authority. So we will discuss this point little more because now this word authority is going to come again and again. So very authentic, scholarly, because word to word meanings are given. So therefore it is self-evident. Then next point, who will tell? Why Bhagavad Gita published in this present form? Who will tell next point? Yeah. So when they read Macmillan edition of Bhagavad Gita, although it was, Prabhupada was dissatisfied, but still it was very inspiring. So therefore they asked Srila Prabhupada to, so many scholars and devotees. So many scholars and devotees, they asked Srila Prabhupada to present. So that is second one. Request by many scholars and devotees. So many scholars and devotees, they requested Srila Prabhupada to present in this in its original form. So next point, anyone would like to say next point? Prabhupada's desire was to present it as full parampara explanation. So yeah, we can write Prabhupada's desire also to present a parampara. Srila Prabhupada's desire to present parampara explanations. This word full present parampara explanations, you know. Already Macmillan edition also was parampara explanation, but not full, you know, right now. Full parampara explanation. Any other point? Fourth point. To establish KC movement what he says? More soundly and yeah. Now coming, this statement, you know, to establish Krishna consciousness movement, more soundly and progressively Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita as it is in its present form or in its original form, original manuscript. So this kind of statements where movement, mission or International Society for Krishna Consciousness or ISKCON, when it comes, I would like to speak a little bit on this because this is very important for all of us. Especially thorough study of Shastra is meant for preachers, and preachers should know the mission of Acharyas, Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So this kind of statements where movement, mission, our society, our International Society for Krishna Consciousness or ISKCON, you will find this kind of statements, you know, statements including these phrases, you know, these words and phrases throughout the books of Srila Prabhupada and his purports. Not many in Bhagavad Gita, but in Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, when you will study, you will get a lot. And in lectures and conversations, you will get a lot, especially lectures. Literally in every lecture, Prabhupada speaks our movement, our Krishna consciousness movement, our Hare Krishna movement is spreading this message, or that is the purpose of our Krishna consciousness movement. Like that, this kind of statements come. So these statements, I call them as mood and mission statements. Yeah, mood and mission. So what is this mood and mission? What is mission? This word mission, English word it is, but our acharyas have used it. So like Gaudiya mission, right? Around Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to. Yes, sir. So last 200 years among the Indian intellectuals and scholars, this word is very prevalent. Mission word is. It originally came from English. It came from Christian missionaries coming to India and trying to preach, spread Christianity. They were called as missionaries. And their activities were called as mission. So based on this only, Ramakrishna mission was started. Right or not? Our acharya has called it as Murgi mission. Because everyone eats Murgi there, that's all. It is known for eating Murgi. Right or not? Murgi, you understand? Murgi. Those who are Hindi background, they know Murgi means what it is. Chicken. Chicken eating machine. So, I heard in Bangalore some of our devotees went for some house program long back. This was one devotee from Bangalore told me that. Long back, some 10 years, 12 years back, more than 12, 15 years back. So, he told me that they went to a house program. They are now well-wishers of ISKCON, very new people. They are not devotees. So they did kirtan, some lecture. So then those hosts, they wanted these devotees to eat something. Generally Indians, you know, they have this culture of feeding the sadhus and all. Right or not? Although they are, now their culture is lecha culture. Now they are, Indians have become lechas. Right? So these devotees told, we don't eat outside. We don't eat that which is cooked by non-devotees. And especially devotees also means 16 rounds. Those who chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles. Lord accepts our offering only when we chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles. That doesn't mean you should start offering after chanting 16 rounds. You can start offering, but try to come to 16 rounds and four regulative principles. So, at least in the programs also, the main cook should be chanting 16 rounds. Others may assist with the clean, you know, that should be done in a very clean way. So, hair should be covered and all, otherwise hair may fall. And So the main cook should be those who are chanting 16 rounds, following four regulatory principles, aspiring to be initiated or initiated, all these things. Otherwise Lord will not accept that offering. So coming to the point that so that these devotees, they told that they said to them that we will not eat, and then they said, oh, why you all eat? We also invite Ramakrishna Mission sadhus, they come and eat in our home. Sometime we cook for meat also to them. They tell us to cook this and that and all like that. So like that they said. So in Chennai, long now it must have changed. Previously, they were Ramakrishna Mission people were not eating meat there, because South India is little strict than North India. Bengal, you know, originally started in Bengal. In Bengal, you can eat even Apasampradaya Vaishnavas, you know, Vaishnava Apasampradayas. So one hand Hare Krishna mantra, another hand fish bag. One hand bead bag, another hand fish bag. They will go to market with a bead bag and bring a fish in their bag.
Fish is okay, but no garlic onion. They cook fish, but they will not have the garlic.
Yeah, onion garlic is considered, but among all kinds of meat, fish is worst kind of meat it is. According to Shastra, Garuda Purana or somewhere it is mentioned like that. So fish is worst kind of meat it is. So some places even onion garlic is considered as more worst than all other, worst than all the meat. So like that. It's not question of living being, non-living being or vegetarian, non-vegetarian. Among the tamoguna foods, which one is more worst? That is how it is discussed. Anyway, coming back to point. So in this way this Murgi Mission started. So all these preachers were called as missionaries, and their activities are their purpose and their mission is their so their activities are called as mission. So mood and mission, that's why. So Prabhupada uses this word mission often. We will see in this preface also Prabhupada uses this word mission, or Prabhupada used movement also a lot. Movement means that which moves. That which is stagnant is not called as movement, it is. That which moves is called as movement. It gives the indication to us that we should be moving or progressing or advancing, changing, transforming. So sheep also may move, right or not? But we should not be sheep, right or not? So we should change our lives. We should change our consciousness. We should change our lifestyle. That is called as movement. If it is not moving, it is not called as movement it is. So therefore, yeah. So therefore it is called as movement. So I am discussing this because whenever you go through this kind of statement, you should understand the importance of that. In Prabhupada books, you know, you will come across so many hundreds, literally thousands of times Prabhupada has made this. So in 6th canto of Bhagavatam, when Yamadutas were challenged by Vishnu Dutas, so you are servants of Yamaraj, you should know what is dharma and what is adharma. According to you, what is dharma? Like that they challenge. So then in that purport Prabhupada writes, this question is very relevant. Why? Because if someone who is representing the other person should know the teachings and the mission of that person, like that Prabhupada is. So that statement is introduction to this kind of statements, you know. We should know what is the mission. We are representatives of Prabhupada. We are followers of Srila Prabhupada. ISKCON is meant to spread the teachings of Srila Prabhupada everywhere. Nowadays in modern ISKCON, what happens, you know? I will tell you. I should tell you this because you will experience this. I have my guru, you have your guru, or you know, there are, it's a multi-guru institution it is. Prabhupada wanted it like that. He didn't want one guru actually. So often devotees, my Guru Maharaj mood is different, they say actually. This term you will come across actually. So this will ruin our institution. I will tell you, this will ruin our institution. Our emphasis should be always mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. That is what will keep us together. We may be disciples of different gurus, but if we will be only go together as long as we keep Srila Prabhupada in the center. We should stress on mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. For that we have to study his teachings very thoroughly. So in that purport, because Yamdutas were representing Yamaraj, they should know the teachings of Yamaraj. Srila Prabhupada, he stresses that. So then he tells, he gives instruction to the members of Krishna Consciousness Movement. That is another mood and mission statement. The members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement should thoroughly understand the teachings of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and previous acharyas, so that they should not be, when they go out for preaching, they should not be considered as foolish. If Yamdutas didn't know what are the teachings of Yamaraj, then they would have been foolish. In one sense, they were fooled. Although Yamdutas responded, what is the meaning of dharma? That is introductory. His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami is writing one book on, now presently he is working on that, mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. So I was helping him in this. I collected, someone else collected all the quotes of Srila Prabhupada with this kind of statements, you know, movement, mission, our society, our institution, international ISKCON, our ISKCON, like that. So, and I was putting them in proper order. So that Yamaraja's, that incident of Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. So that exact verse is 6.2.36 or 38, one of the purports. You can find this where Vishnudutas asked this question to, you know, what is dharma? According to you, that verse, purport. That one I put as introductory quote for that book actually. Because there Prabhupada says that everyone should know the mission of previous acharyas. Someone whom we are representing, whom we are following, we should know. So we should know. Or even those who are getting initiated. This may not be for new people who are not attached to Srila Prabhupada, who are not attached to the sampradaya, but those who are aspiring to be initiated or, you know, are initiated in this institution or in this sampradaya, or being a follower of Srila Prabhupada in the movement of Srila Prabhupada, they should know all these things very thoroughly. What is their mission? So like this mood and mission statements are there. So this mood and mission, this is, you know, in order to establish Krishna Consciousness Movement more soundly and progressively. So among mood and mission statements also there would be varieties of statements. Some may be instructions to the members of the movement, mission. Some may be purpose of the mission. Some may be benefits of the mission, what this movement is offering to the society. What are the benefits? How this is important? And some may be desires of Srila Prabhupada. I want my followers to do this like that. Like that, you know. He may express his desire. Like in one conversation or one lecture, Srila Prabhupada, he says, I want all other movements to be cut down and only Krishna Consciousness Movement should be established, he says. So this is what desire of Srila Prabhupada it is. That we have to do, you know, we followers, we have to fulfill their desire. So like that varieties of statements would be there. Here, what kind of mood and mission statement it is? Bhagavad Gita is presented in order to establish Krishna consciousness movement more soundly and progressively. We are discussing Srila Prabhupada mission now, mood and mission. In Prabhupada mood and mission, one section would be his books. What are his books? What are his teachings and books, you know? Teachings, and part of that is books also. What are his books? Because he presented his teachings in his books. He wrote Bhagavad Gita, he wrote Bhagavatam, he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, he wrote many other books, Krishna book. When he wrote them, when he published them, what are the brief contents of those books? So, this statement will come there. Why he presented this Bhagavad Gita as it is? Right? That is what is our topic now. Why Bhagavad Gita as it is published in its present form? Right or not? So, he presented it for the sake of establishing Krishna consciousness movement soundly and progressively. And soundly and progressively means what? If you want this Krishna consciousness movement to establish soundly in the society and make more progress, what we have to do? We have to distribute this Bhagavad Gita as it is, study this Bhagavad Gita as it is, follow this Bhagavad Gita as it is, and preach the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is. If we do not do that, our movement will become weak, it will never make progress in the future. So, we should distribute this more than any other book in ISKCON actually. Now we are seeing that gradually other books are becoming, you know, covering this. So it should not happen like that. Our main book is this. There are so many bogus theories are floating in ISKCON, in and around ISKCON now. So we don't tell this to newcomers, but now you are all so solid, you know, devotees. Now you are all taking part in preaching and all these things. So many theories, Prabhupada books people are not able to understand. They will not understand this, therefore we should distribute other books. Now the society has changed. Now very modern, new modernism. Prabhupada very strongly writes here, demons, rascals, mudas, karmis. So as soon as they open this book, so one devotee, he told me that, he is a traveling preacher, sannyasi. So he other devotees told him in America that people in America, as soon as they open the books and they read the strong statements, very demons, rascals, mudas, immediately what happened? They close the book like that. This. And the same devotee told me that in ISKCON, if devotees read 1 hour every day Prabhupada books, it's a big achievement, lot it is. That means we are not reading so much every day. So there are many reasons for that. One of the major reason is the socio-economic system, urban living, urban lifestyle doesn't encourage Shastric study. Previously illiterate people know hundreds and hundreds of verses from Shastra. They would spontaneously quote like that because they had peace of mind. They had time, they would sit and hear morning, evening, Mahabharata, Ramayana. But now there is no time, no taste after work, days of hard labor. You know, they don't have peace of mind and all, you know, that mindset for reading, focusing on the Shastra. There are many reasons for that. So, this devotee suggested we can sanitize Prabhupada actually. So I was very unhappy with that. Sanitize means, you understand, remove all those, you know, statements which are very strong with heavy, you know, rascal, muda, you know, these things. And even in 2008, GBC made one resolution that we should edit Prabhupada or give some footnotes to Prabhupada's sexist statements. Sexist statements means heavy statements on women, women are less intelligent and all these things. Women are less intelligent, right or not? Don't feel bad about it. So you are sitting here. I will tell you one point. Why women spend so much time decorating themselves? Or why in modern days they are so revealing? Now you see in you know, all this Bangalore, so revealing they are. Right? So, in Vedic culture it was allowed. Woman, it is told that woman should decorate herself to become attractive for husband. So, for to attract husband, not for any other man. When husband is not in the home, she will not, you know, dress herself very attractively. So, just by seeing her, we could understand who is she. If she has not dressed proper, she is married, but she is not dressed properly, that means her husband is away. If she has dressed properly, then husband is at the home. And if she has not made this, you know, this sindoor and this whole line here, you know, that here, if she, it is side, she is considered prostitute. Only prostitutes will do like that. So, because they want to attract other men and all this. So, all these things are there, Vedic culture. So, coming to the point that why they are, you know, they spend time, that is because it is bodily conscious it is. In Bhagavad Gita, knowledge and intelligence is knowledge of soul and atma. And if it is one in bodily conscious means it is ignorance it is. So therefore women are less intelligent. You got the point? Because they are not, they don't have knowledge of self and self-realization, self and atma, and their intelligence doesn't work in that. Their intelligence works on bodily platform. So we have to see everything from the Shastra point of view. Anyway, so the statements of Srila Prabhupada, now these theories are floating around that Prabhupada books are not attractive for modern day people actually. But that is foolishness. When devotees, Srila Prabhupada, genuine followers, those who have taken Diksha, if they are not able to study, then why we expect that outsiders will study Prabhupada books? If they, devotees who are taken Diksha in his institution, attracted by his activities, in his mission, they are not able to study his teachings, means why we expect that outsiders will study his books? Right or not? First, these people should be made to study books, no? Right or not? That's why these sessions, right? Then, by seeing these people, outsiders will follow it. No? That was my point of argument with that devotee. Instead of editing Prabhupada books, make devotees to study, create environment for devotees to study. You got the idea? Then outsiders will follow. There are many reasons why people don't read books. I gave, you know, socio-economic system doesn't support this whole study intelligence only. They want to keep people in illusion and ignorance and just exploit them. This whole, you know, leaders, politicians, businessmen, industrialists and all. So they don't want to bring people into knowledge actually. Education system doesn't teach about Atma Vidya, self-realization. It only teaches how to become atheist and materialistic, earn money and do sense gratification. Work like donkey, work, 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 work. Like I was writing a book on history, I'm still. So this linear progressive description, you know, this description is given in the schools. That civilization is making progress now. Human history, in human history, human beings are making progress. Linear progressive history or civilization gives the idea that it puts a systematic indoctrination. Children are put into this illusion that we have to work, work, work for technology and economic development, and in this way one day we will make such progress. This civilization is making progress. We will come to the point that we will all become very happy. This world will become heaven like that. So that is wrong. It is. So in this way, we should create environment to study Srila Prabhupada, understand them as it is. So without Bhagavad Gita, if we do not distribute this more, if you do not study, follow this more, then our movement is not going to become strong. It is not going to make any progress, because this Bhagavad Gita is, we will discuss this more, because it will come more and more now in this preface and introduction and later in the purports also. So therefore, if we want to see ISKCON to be very strong, very progressive, it is not just collecting lot of people, you know, getting them initiated. It is not like that. It is not like that. Anyone can put tilak. You know, in Bengal, everyone puts tilak. Everyone has bead bag. Bengal, Orissa, if you see, everyone has neck beads. So Mayavadi is also chant Hare Krishna mantra. So we, Prabhupada in his seven purposes, what he said? We want to spread the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. To the extent you have communicated or you have received this message of Bhagavad Gita, to that extent you are a good devotee. You follow this, practice this, to that extent we are a good devotee. Therefore, among devotees also Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama. Kanishta doesn't have any faith in the Shastra, any knowledge of Shastra. Madhyama, he has firm faith and he has Shastric knowledge, but he cannot defeat others. But Uttama is, he has Shastric knowledge, he will be able to defeat others in arguments. This is how you will become elevated devotee. So we may take Idiksha, we may chant Hare Krishna, but we may remain Kanishta throughout our life if we do not have this knowledge. Of course, not that we will, purpose is to do devotional service in proper attitude, bhakti in proper attitude, you know. To cultivate those attitudes, we need knowledge. Ultimately, bhakti is essence, service is essence. If you see in these books, devotional service is, so many times it comes. But that should be done in a proper attitude, right or not? Kamsa was also remembering Krishna, but he is not a devotee. Why? His attitude is to kill Krishna. Shishupala also was glorifying Krishna from the child. You know, blaspheming also in another way, it is a glorification. So speaking about Krishna, but his attitude was envious of Krishna. So for that we need knowledge, we need proper Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidhim Vina Aikantikir Harir Bhaktir Utpataya. So my main point here is that we should distribute this more than any other books in ISKCON. This means next level is Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. These books have to be distributed more than any other books in ISKCON. You got the idea? So please remember this. Otherwise, ISKCON will become weak and it will, progress will be hindered. Okay. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Sorry, I came late. I wanted to cover preface at least in the morning session. But we will take your questions. If you have, you please note down, and we will discuss in the evening. Questions. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So how was the session?
Very much. Very.
So we have another session in the evening, and we have two sessions tomorrow. So what would you say?
We covered only half of the paragraph.